parents and ask me to correct a mistake that was made. I'm going to ask Brother Counts to come and introduce our speaker.
Amen.
In that order. Seriously, about 25 years ago, before the television became the entertainment center of the home, radio was the means of receiving the entertainment and the gospel as far as air is concerned. I used to like to listen to preaching on the radio. One day as I was turning the dial, I heard this voice. It was railing out, hurling out bitter judgment against the disciples of Alexander Young. And as the years went by, or for some time I listened, I liked what I heard because he preached God's word and it's true. He went off the air. Years passed. When I decided to move to Bellflower and attend CMBI, sitting almost in the back of a very crowded auditorium, and from somewhere up front came this voice. My wife, I said, that's the same voice that was on that Bakersfield radio station. And sure enough, it was. Brother Kent. That voice has been heard in the Conference of the United States of America. It has been heard in the courtrooms defending the Bible. But I believe more than anything else that we can say, one of the greatest honors that can be bestowed upon any man is to be the pastor of one of the Lord's churches. As a pastor, he has served in our American Baptist Association in many capacities as president of the Sunday School Committee. He has preached all over America and other parts of the world. Pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dominguez, he is very qualified to preach to us tonight. Brother Ken. Every word he says. Before you dismiss what I say tonight, I hope you will search your Bibles to see if what I said is true. Because I plan to shake up some of you folks. If God helps me tonight, I plan to do that. But there's no need to be trying to do that if I don't read from the Word of God to show you where perhaps some of us may need shaking up. The 21st chapter of the book of John tells us a story. Beginning at the 18th verse, just so you will know that I also can read Greek and start out, amen, amen, to you, fellow students, radio music. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me.
Then Peter turning seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breakfast supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come. You folks that don't believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, try that one on for size. He was the youngest of the apostles. And he said, What is it to you if he lives until I come? Even Jesus believed in the imminent return. Just like Brother Kim. What is it to you that he tarry till I come? What is that to me? Follow thou me. Now, of course, when that thing got abroad, some of the brethren didn't have any better sense then than they have now. And they said, Well, he's not going to die. He's going to live forever. Now let's get back to the text. What is that to thee? The sermon subject is, why don't you mind your own business? Now is that what Jesus said to Peter?
Yep.
Was Peter one of us? Then it may just be that there have been some Methodists get in among us. And they have decided that they are going to tell us how we are to conduct it. Some years ago, there was a Methodist minister who was neighbor to me who got in trouble with his denomination. And because I knew that the accusations against Mr. Huntsman were untrue, he asked me to vouch for him. And I did. I had lunch with Bishop Kennedy and this Methodist minister to corroborate that these charges were untrue. But when I left that meeting, I thought to myself, Thank God I'm a Baptist. Thank God I believe in the sovereignty of the local church. Thank God I believe that we have the right to conduct our business the way we want to, and there is no superintendent, there is no bishop, there is no super preacher that is going to tell the church when our pastor how to do business. But if I am to mind my own business, I better know what my business is. Brethren, my business is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid some of us have gotten on a hobby horse. I'm afraid we have gotten our needles stuck. And we just feel like that if we don't dot every I, cross every T the same way, that we are not being true to the Word of God. I ask you, how long has it been since you preached from the book of Habakkuk? How long has it been since you preached from the book of Zephaniah? How long has it been since you studied anything outside of the pride of Jesus Christ? How long has it been since you settled down and said, I'm going to preach the Word of God? I'm going to take a passage from the Word of God and I'm going to develop what that says. I've changed my entire ministry. My whole ministry now is devoted to taking passages of the Word of God and telling my people what it means.
Amen.
I know it's a lot easier to go around and find some pet subject M.D. Hubbard was one of my best friends. But M.D. Hubbard told me that he lost much of his ministerial zeal when he got involved in trying to identify who the Antichrist was. And all of the other things connected with the second coming of Christ. My business is to preach the Word, the whole Word. Do you believe in 66 books of the Bible being inspired by God? Then preach them. They're all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. I'll tell you something else. My job is to set the example. I ought to dress like a preacher. I ought to act like a preacher. I ought to give like a preacher. I even ought to smell like it. You guys, now you don't smoke those marijuana cigarettes medically. Marijuana is not addictive. Tobacco is. My wife and I saw an addiction to tobacco that was unbelievable the other day. We went in a hospital to visit a lady I had just baptized. Had to have my associate help, but she was crippled. We had to sit her in a chair. But when we went in the hospital, the lady next to her was in her early 20s. She didn't have any arms. She'd set herself on fire smoking in bed. But they had rigged up a tube and had a little thing alongside of her bed where she could continue to smoke. And the cigarettes were piled there high. Don't tell me anything about addiction, brother. You can knock marijuana, heroin, all you want to. I know whether you smoke, you're just suckers. That's what you are. It's time that you were told that you should straighten up.
Amen.
I'll tell you something else, Captain. The Bible says, be ye followers of me even as I am Christ. Now, if I'm not going to set the example, then I don't have any right to stand up in the pulpit and preach. The hardest job I have to do is to live as big as I preach. I don't want anybody singing. That doesn't mean. I don't want anybody preaching. That doesn't mean. My business is preaching and living. Now I'll tell you something else. My business is to pastor the church that called me. They know whether they want me as pastor or not. I don't give them a chance to vote on it very often. But I find that there are lots of people who know how to pastor the church where I am. The funny thing is, I have bigger Sunday school classes than they have churches. But they know all about it. They know how to do everything. Well, why don't they do it? Old D. Harris came by my house one night and told me he could put 300 in anybody's Sunday school in 6 weeks. Anybody ever know of him having 300 in Sunday school? In his own church? Time to put up or shut up, folks. I'm saying to you and I'm saying to all of us that God has put us in the ministry and the Holy Spirit has put us as overseers of the church where we pastor, and that's a full-time job. We don't need direction from other saints. If you don't know what that means, ask for clarification. It It's really funny how people know exactly how California ought to conduct their business. Well, I'll tell you what my business is. My business is not to sit in judgment. I found out a long time ago I wasn't the umpire. I'm just a player. God is going to make the decisions, folks. Who told me that I have to approve the actions of any other church? Do I approve of adultery? Do I approve of getting drunk? How many of you would take a letter from a church that had an open case of adultery and drunkenness in the public assembly? Before you answer that, remember I'm talking about the church in Corinth. What about a church that would allow somebody to become so dominant that the laity would be under subjection? And before you answer, boy, we would withdraw and back quickly from them. Let me remind you of the church in Asia that had the Nicolaitans. How many of you are going to say that a church that is dominated by a woman is right? Not me, brother. I didn't like Captain Cooley. Man, I tell you, isn't it funny how inconsistent people are? Captain Cooley's case in point, folks. She had $265,000 in cash in her estate. She had several million dollars in narcotics. And she doesn't leave zilch to any religious organization in the world. She left the $265,000 to some relatives. Her autopsy to a car salesman and his wife. And even the Captain Kuhlman Foundation didn't get a plug nickel. And if that isn't inconsistent enough, let me tell you this. Good old Oral Roberts has started a medical school at Oral Roberts University. Now, I may not be, but I hope I'm consistent. I hope I don't change my story every time I get up. And I'll tell you what, I am not going to sit in judgment. And I am a little bit disturbed at the way we have done it. Think with me for a minute. How many times have we made recommendations here concerning baptism? Now, beloved, every church is going to have to decide what they consider to be scriptural baptism. Now, if you propose to withdraw from every church that receives a member from a Southern Baptist church, you're going to have to withdraw from at least three-fourths of all churches cooperating in the American Baptist Association. Now, because we do it here in California, is not going to make it so anywhere else. Now, beloved, either we believe in a local church deciding what they're going to do, or we don't.
Amen.
Now, because we receive someone, or you receive someone, does not make it that you have to receive the person we do. And we don't have to receive the ones you receive. Brother, I wish we just understood a little something here, folks. Church lost its candle. I know it did. Because I was
Huntsman said that they lost their candlestick. And he was pressed for when they lost their candlestick. Well, it's perfectly obvious. The night the La Harbor Church withdrew from the Brentwood Church, they lost their candlestick. Now all that believe that is down over here. Now, you can withdraw from anybody you want to. That's your sovereign right. And I respect your right. But please don't tell me who I can associate with. Now, brother, we've taken certain things and we've just whipped them to death. Now, if you want to press this thing, you think with me for a minute. How many churches are not cooperating with us on a national basis who were once Southern Baptist churches? Period. W.W. Miles is a case that comes to mind right off the bat. What I am trying to say, and I hope you understand what I'm saying, is that every church must learn to mind their business. I'm so busy trying to keep the church where I pastor true to the New Testament that I don't have any time to worry about whether you are until somebody comes from your church.
Amen.
And then we'll work.
Amen.
That's when the test of fellowship comes. Brethren, I say that many of us have made a test that isn't even there. Well, you know, I'll say this. We used to have a fellow, and he was always quoting Spurgeon. We got to get back to Spurgeon. Oh, let's let him learn. Forget you. You know Spurgeon wasn't even an ordained preacher. How many of you knew that? How many of you knew he wouldn't allow piano in the church? How many of you knew he had the Lord's Supper every Sunday for that? Now, what I'm going to get back to you, folks. Now, Spurgeon was a great man. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I find something in the scriptures. Jesus said, now, Peter, what is this to you? John is my disciple. But you, I'm going to show you a little more Greek there, folks. That's in the second person singular. And he said, Peter, I'm talking to you now. It's a person. And you follow me. Now, first of all, there are some things that aren't my business. But my business is to follow the Lord. And I'll tell you some things that I have found. There are people who are prone to follow a man. I just gave you an example first. I could go on and on and on. When we say the name William Bogart, we really hold him in high respect. One of the last people, Brother Bogart, led to be received into the Antioch Church was a man by the name of Gladstone Frank. When I met Gladstone Franklin, he was in Central America, letting holy rollers preach for him, practicing open communion. He wrote a book about Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert was an immoral drunk, finally killed by an outraged husband because of his indecencies. Is that a reflection on Brother Bogart and what he taught? No. But it does show the fallacy of following a man. I don't care who that man is. I'm trying to be. Now, in all seriousness, folks, how many times have you had a preacher get up and say, "Now, Brother so-and-so said this"? Oh, boy, did that end. Wait a minute. Follow me. I'm not saying preachers are wrong, but I'm saying that you better examine the Scripture and see if what they have said is the Word of God. Let's try this one. Not a denomination. Well, we're not a denomination, Brother Cannon. You can fool me. Is it ADA? Is that my Congregation of Baptists? Brother Cross, I wish he was here. One time in the Sunday School Committee, he made one of the most pointed remarks that I ever heard, and I thank God for it. Somebody proposed printing something. And the remark was made. Well, if we print it, there's always a great number of people who will buy it just because we print it. And Brother Cross said, "God help us never to adopt that principle."
Amen.
But brother, there are some people that are just that narrow in their thinking right now.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I've heard every kind of heresy under the canopy of heaven preached by a landmark missionary Baptist. Where do you think the new light came from? And they held their hands over their heart when they said it. It's time that we judge people by the Word of God rather than the brain that they wear. Brother, that's the brain I want to see. I don't care what they call themselves. I want to see what they believe. Now, friends, if you don't know some of the wild things that are being taught, how many of you remember when Fred Stevenson was writing on the book of Hebrews? When he came to the subject of, "Then if we be without chastisement, whereof all our partakers are we baptized and not so?" He said, "The Baptists are saved, Canaanites and Methodists." That's glad to you. I wrote it back. And I said, "That's the biggest bunch of nonsense I ever heard in my life." And he wrote me back that you don't understand the Greek. I said, "I don't know about you, but I graduated in classical Greek and Koine Greek. And the only place in the Koine Greek you'll find that is in Hebrews 12. And the word is not son, it is illegitimate. No more." There are four words for son in the New Testament. And if the Holy Spirit had four words for son, why then did he choose the word out of the Greek that means an illegitimate child? By the way, I never did answer that question. I'll tell you why. Because new life will not stand in the light of the Word of God. And I don't care if they brand themselves landmark Baptist or not. That's wrong, folks. It's time we just faced up to some things. My business, my friends, is not being loyal to a denomination, but to Jesus Christ. I'm glad, my brethren. brethren are loyal to Jesus Christ for the most part. But I'm also wise enough to recognize some of them are not. Hey, something else. I'm going to follow Jesus instead of a fact. Some of you guys go to a bus ministry. Oh, Brother Henry, we got to get this big bus ministry going. Fine. Aren't they? Well, then now, friends, I think it's time that we let churches do what they want to do. Now, the largest bus ministry in California was at one time conducted by one of my students in CMBI in a Southern Baptist church. But they found out that wasn't building, and so they built. Others have found that this is the best way for them to build. What I'm afraid most of us do is we go and hear something, and we run to tell everybody, boy, this is what you ought to do. No, why don't you go do it? And if it works, you set the example, and I might talk. But I can read the same books you do. I can go to the same clinics you do. And there is no need for you to come and start telling us all of these great things that we're missing. You go show us whether they work or not. And then we might listen to you a little bit. I watched so many fads go through missionary baptism. I remember when it real fattish to be a split rapturist. Woo! Oh, they're all in it. Some of you guys have held every position. Now, there's a verse of scripture for you, too, going without forever winning the doctrine. Oh, man. Yeah, man. Boy, you couldn't find a split rapturist. When the Geiger counters, they're radioactive today. Oh, we've got to have this real fact. No, we need to follow Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not some good things that we can learn. But let's learn them and let's put them down to use in our own churches. And if anyone wants to emulate us, fine. I'm not going to sit in judgment of anybody about how you operate in your church. If you want to take the offering in a box, that's your business. If I want to take the offering in an offering place, that's our business. And if we don't want to take any offering at all, that's our business. If we want to use the 6-point record system, that's our business. And if you don't want a graded Sunday school, that's your business. But let's not sit around in judgment of other people over some of these things that simply are not fair, beloved. Now, again, let's not just accept everybody who comes along and says, I'm a missionary. And let's not decry everything simply because we don't agree with every point in which there are. Let me tell you something. Why don't you study a little history, folks? We are connected with the Anabaptists. We talk about all of the things that we agree with the Anabaptists. You ever tell you the things we disagree with them? Now, any of you that study history honestly and intellectually, with intellectual honesty, you know I'm telling the truth. There were pacifists. There were militant revolutionists. There were many things among various groups that had many of our principles that you'd have a hard time fellowshipping them in everything. But beloved, today we've got to take the offering of life. We've got to rest a lot. And we've got to talk a lot. Or we're not really sound in the faith. Now, if they were sound in 900 A.D., enough for us to trace historically to them, why are we so uptight when somebody disagrees with us on some point? Now, beloved, I'm serious. I'm as serious as I've ever been in my life. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to do everything I can to lead the Dominion Church to be just as strict and just as honest and just as honorable in following the dictates of the New Testament as I possibly can. And I'll pray that you do the same. But I'm not going to raise one finger. I'm not going to go one time to make you do anything. I'm a Baptist. And I'm tired of Methodists going around calling themselves Baptists. A church is a church. And it's a church because God Almighty has placed churches in this world, and He and He alone can judge it. Some of you guys were worried about who's going to be in the bride. You better worry about you. The only person in the world that I can really do anything about is Brother Kenneth and the folks I'm trying to. I'm going to follow him. If I follow him, I'll love. Some time ago, I was in a meeting. Young man stood up. Said, "Brother Cannon, what is the difference between love and lust?" And said, "Answer." Everybody in that meeting knew the young man because his wife had just left and run off with another man. And I said, "Lord, you better help this preacher right now. But I'll better answer right. Love is my answer. Is the motive. The emotion that causes me to do only that which is good for the object of my life. Brethren, I love you. And everything I do, I hope, is for the good of my life. I'm not going to engage in rumors, brethren. I read that in one paper and it turned my stomach. I hear a rumor. Folks, spreading rumors is not Christian. Spreading stories is not Christian. If I love you, I won't hurt you in any way. I'll tell you something else I'm going to do. The best of my knowledge, I'm going to follow him. He sacrificed everything for me. And I'm going to do everything I can. My doctor keeps telling me, "Now, you know," I said, "you just keep me patched up, brother. So I can go my face. And then when I get in trouble, you patch me up again. I'm going to keep right on. Because there's nothing I want to do but serve Jesus Christ. But I want to serve him in a biblical way. And I don't want you sitting in judgment with me. I'll not sit in judgment with you. But I'll try to tell you what the Bible says, and I'll try to set the example. And God help us to the truth to his
word." Amen.
God bless you, Brother. Brother Pack, would you come? Would at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Pack to extend to Brother Canada. I have the fellowship for this message. Now let me just say, there is some real sound advice that you heard here tonight. And I pray to God that we can take it home